Dr. John B., good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Dave.
It is a great morning out there. It just feels, I don't know, I'm starting to think, I know it's basketball, and I know the Spartans, and you love MSU.
I do.
It's, you know, the Big Ten tournament for them this week, but baseball is in the air as well because we're warming up. Just puts you in a good mood this time of year. Am I wrong on that? Does spring bring out something scientifically, psychologically in people?
Well, I can certainly say from a psychological point of view, after the winter, you know, when we have a lot of seasonal affective disorder, a lot of overcast here, doesn't make Michigan less wonderful place to live, but it certainly can add some dimensions of depression or just I'm ready for a change, cabin fever. When spring comes, and we're certainly getting those feelings now, it really adds zest and certainly adds some happiness and excitement to people as they begin to think of summer, they think of swimming, they think
sure.
of walking in short sleeve shirts and shorts. So, yeah, it's a very psychological lift when we hit spring, no question.
Well, you talk about wanting to make changes, and this is something we see, unfortunately, with many people who are married. What makes, and the divorce rate, which, of course, is still extremely high, what makes, Dr. John, what makes for a good marriage and really an enduring marriage? And what causes so many, and I do mean so many, to fail?
Well, I think the main thing is there needs to be this commitment. I think that there needs to be a commitment for life. I'd like to see people get married a little later, you know, after 20, in terms of having some more balance in terms of where they're going in life. And when I say commitment, I mean that sincerely. You get together, you've thought about it, you've looked at each other, and you've said, we're going to do this, we're going to make it. If you have a spiritual belief, it even makes it stronger that there's another force that's keeping you, you know, together. Then I think you always have to look for the positive in the partner. So often people are nitpicking, finding faults, complaining, and you really can't do that. You have to work on being positive. We also have to accept our faults, recognizing that we all have them and that we just need to work together. We need to be positive. We need to try to impact people we're with that we love, but just recognize we need patience and we just need to try to work. And we also have to realize that marriage is never going to be perfect. Again, our old buddy Shakespeare said, the course of true love never did run smooth, and I think that's true. There are going to be things that come up. We then have to not look to the course to say, I want out of this thing. No, that's the time that, like the good gardener, you work on the garden, you really give it a priority, and you really determine that you're going to really work on the marriage and make it the best it can be. You want to be honest. I think honesty becomes a very key thing. You need to work on communication. You need to be a couple and think of coupleness. A lot of people get married and they can never quite get over being single. So they never work in terms of joining and being one. So as a whole, you're looking at commitment. You're looking at accepting faults. You're looking at spending time together. You're looking at being friends. And I think even our old buddy Nietzsche, you know, people see as kind of a madman, but the philosopher said it's not a lack of love, but a lack of friendship that makes unhappy marriages. So I think if there's not a whole pattern of working together, making things work, I always think having some form of spirituality, certainly some joint moral code that you live by, is going to make the marriage work better. But so many marriages fail. When you're talking about 40 to 60% of marriages failing, obviously people are not doing their homework, or if they're together, they're not planning on really going through the tough times and really working on themselves. And of course, when you have children, we're then bringing people to the world and making a very difficult life for them. There's no question, data is clear that divorce is not good for children.
What about the tech side now? And I don't want to be just technology into it, but the fast-paced lifestyle we live. We want instant answers, too. If something goes wrong on my computer, I can hit a button to troubleshoot. I want an answer quickly. I want it fixed right now. I don't want to go through a lot of list here and there. What am I doing wrong? I want an instant answer. That doesn't always happen with a marriage.
No, it really doesn't, because we're dealing with two human beings. We're talking about in a university. We're talking about so many things going on that are competing, fighting, if you will, for attention. that there is no easy answer. It all gets down to time together, friendship, companionship, sexuality, community, in terms of together, even building the community family. There's so many factors that need to be in place for the couple to really succeed. And in this fast-paced world, it's very easy to meet people and find people that will say, well, if you're not happy, just leave. And instant telecommunication, no need to have to stay in a relationship, bah, humbug. So much of that. So I think the technology, the time, the ability of people to come and go as they please, as good as it is in many ways,
sure,
it certainly leads to great temptation and destruction of relationships.
Well, and that's the danger, the destruction there, and something you've put time into. Think of the investment, too, I guess, that you've made to get to whatever point you're at. Don't you want to see that come to fruition and have some value for you long term? Because you know this, from what you do, Dr. John, that there, when you go through a divorce, it seems like an easy fix. But when that all gets going, it's got a lot of ramifications come from that.
It's very devastating. It can devastate you financially. It can devastate you emotionally. Mm-hmm. And never forget the impact on children that didn't ask to come into the world and all of a sudden are in the middle of a situation that often leads to far less financial success, leads to difficulties in relationships, confusions in future relationships. And mind you, when I say this, I'm not talking about relationships staying together that are destructive, physically destructive,
sure,
demeaning.
Sure.
I'm talking about the general relationship where people don't even hate each other. They just say, hey, we don't love each other anymore. We're ready to leave. And when that happens, it can be really devastating to everybody. And I've worked with countless people that wish they hadn't gone through a divorce, and many have married a second time and are only successful the second time because they realize how foolish they were to get out of the first one. We're getting out over trivial type things and not significant things at all.
And always interesting, the ones that you see, and I've known people like this who've gotten remarried later on when they realized the divorce was a mistake and they went and got back together again, and you wonder, how did that all come together to happen? But for some people, it does. Well, psychologically speaking with Dr. John Braccio, the website, Dr. John, is drjohnb.com. Good place to find all of the archived bits here with WILS and also a lot more information on getting in touch. Have a great day, Doc.
Same to you, my friend.